flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps.
Was it really that harsh?
It seemed a little harsh, Dan.
A little harsh.
A little much.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So last night in the fourth quarter in Houston, after everybody finally arrived due to the weather, Cavaliers were down by 13 points to the pesky Houston Rockets.
They are pesky.
Down by 13. And then Ty Jerome hits a three, and Darius Garland misses, and Dean Wade misses, and all of a sudden, though, they started making, and you add it up, and they have a 19-0 run.
Mm-hmm.
They went from down 13 in the fourth quarter to having a 6-point lead last night. And then some strange things started happening. They were up by 6 with under 4 minutes to go. And then, oh my God, the NBA system in place just killed the end of the game, where we're reviewing this and this and this. There were like 14, seemed like 14 video reviews late in the game.
Just wanted to get it right, Jeff.
This is terrible. And the Cavs are in a position late, and Darius Garland misses some free throws. It was weird because one of those reviews gave the Cavs a great chance.
Yep.
And Darius misses 2 out of 3 free throws, but yet the Cavs get the ball because it's a flagrant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird because the Cavs were down, what, 109-107 with 2.1 seconds left?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yep.
And Darius misses 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
But the Cavs get the ball.
Right.
And they inbound to Donovan Mitchell.
And draw up that fantastic play.
Oh, my God. And what was there? Was it 2.8 seconds?
It's like 2.3, I thought.
There was 2 point something. The official play-by-play on ESPN says 2 seconds, but I could have sworn it was like 2.3 or 2.8. And they threw the ball into Donovan Mitchell, who was behind the three-point line, and they threw it in right to him, kind of a baseline three, and he turned and jacked up a three like there was 0.8 seconds on the clock. That was just god-awful. And I thought, man, you guys did such a great job to come back in this game, and that's what you did to finish it out. You missed 2 out of 3 free throws. You missed some opportunities. And then that's what you come up with time running out. Yeah, we're all being really picky because the Cavaliers are great. You can only sit here and say the Cavs are great too many times. But you look at a game like that, I did, and I just thought, eh, opportunity lost. And you didn't play real well.
Mm-mm.
You almost bailed yourself out with a great run. But you didn't play very well in that game. And that's,
no.
Does it mean anything in the big picture? Probably not.
Mm.
But, could have had that one after being down by 13 and putting together a 19-0 run.
So there was two, you were right, Jeff, there was 2.8 seconds to go in the game.
That's what I thought.
And then he released it with almost 2 full seconds.
Yeah,
left
so
the
what
clock.
Was that all?
But I don't.
It seemed like you had, I felt watching it, Andy, you had two guards trying to play hero ball late in the game. And I thought, no, if your offense has been so good all year, run the offense. Go get a basket, as you did in a 19-0 run to get back into the game.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they had time to try to hit a rebound shot there, too, and that would have been Garland was if he would have I don't know. They're 2 seconds, so it's easy for me to say and play armchair quarterback. But if Garland spins into the paint, he's like a bounce pass away and a layup in within 2 seconds to make it to get the game go-ahead bucket and the game winner, actually. If you go back and watch the play, you'll be like, oh, man, all he had to do was instead of go up, have Garland cut towards a restricted area, and then boom, on a bounce pass, you could hit it and just laid it off the glass. But
well,
it's easy for me to do that right now. I'm not
sure. And they've been terrific, but
because that's how the rebound played out.
You were down 2 points with 2 point whatever seconds. You had 3 free throws and the ball.
Yeah, that's not good.
And you ended up with 1 point.
And you're the best team in the NBA, or arguably the best team in the NBA.
You know, and it's not going to affect them for their regular season. I can't imagine it will even affect them in the regular season standings. You never know. Maybe it comes down to one game.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. You need to execute these situations to advance in the playoffs. And you're down 2 with the ball. 3 free throws first.
I know.
Then the ball. And you're down 2. I mean, that's a chance to make 6 points. And you ended up with 1.
And maybe the basketball gods just weren't with them last night.
There you go. There you go.
Joe Boo needed a little more rum.
You know what it seemed? It seemed to me in watching last night's game, and we harp on the wing, you know, the wing situation a lot because it's the one thing on this team where you think, if you could you, would you? Yeah, I would. And it was more glaring last night because Evan Mobley's out. I thought, boy, you need something else. The two guards are, you know, they're terrific, but can we get something else? And Jared had a nice game, double-double, but it just felt like, it felt like something big was missing to me, and that big was Evan or someone on the wing to go along with him. Ty Jerome had 18 points off the bench. So your 3 leading scorers were guards, Andy. Garland, Mitchell, Ty Jerome. And that's okay. I mean, you can win a lot of games that way, and that's the way it went last night. But it just kind of felt like, eh. If there's a hole there, that's it, and it was on display.
They had 6 in double figures last night. And still it was only 1-point game.
Well, and Jalen Green didn't play very well for them.
Hmm.
So, and Jalen Green's arguably their best player.
And even he was in double figures with 10. I mean, he was minus 17, but he still ended up with 10 last night. I don't know, but they get to play him at home over the weekend, right? So,
would you be willing to take a step back in the regular season here for them to make a move and add to that wing?
Yes.
I would too.
Yeah. The question is, what do they have to give up? I mean, are you good with making a trade, and not just any trade?
Well, you know who
Jalen Tyson's going to be the guy you're going to have to trade,
or Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome has played really well this year when given the opportunity, and I wonder if he has played well enough to overcome what's been the story of his career, which is you're not on the floor very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been injured, you've been dinged up, you haven't had a ton of playing time, and, you know, you've bounced around a little bit. I wonder if some team sees Ty and thinks, yep, we really have something here. And we'll give you fill in the blank on the wing for Ty Jerome in 2 seconds. I don't want to trade Tyson. You also have Ty Jerome has made Craig Porter Jr. basically obsolete on this team.
Yeah.
And remember, they signed Craig to a contract extension.
I don't know, man. I want Tristan Thompson's deal. I do. Don't you?
Nothing is better than being a good hang. Always remember that in professional sports. Be a good hang.
He's getting 3.3 mil. Just to be that guy around.
To be a good hang.
Big guy that needs to hang in and go out on the field, go out on the court every once in a while. Yeah, it's just, it was funny because I was watching.
There's been a lot of those guys in the NBA.
Oh, I know. But
you want that gig.
Oh, yeah. Jared Dudley made an entire career out of being a great hang.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's true.
James Jones.
Here.
Great hang.
Here. Both of them.
I don't know, man. You just think about it. I mean, God bless you to be 6'9" and you're getting paid $3.3 million.
You don't even
to be 6'9".
You don't even know what hand you have.
He didn't even know what hand.
Am I left-handed? I'm left-handed. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not.
I don't know. Let's ask Z. Z, can we figure this thing out? Yes, I think. I think we have. I think we finally figured out if you're right-handed or left-handed. It only took till the year we won a championship for you to play. The thing about Tristan, though, I mean, I don't know. You pay him $3.3 million right now. It's still worth it. I mean, the way he hustled when we won the championship, I guess it's, you know, he's on the 401k plan.
That's what the end of the bench is for. And, yeah. And Tristan's a guy at the end of the bench who can impact a game from time to time and can impact the team from time to time. No?
Yeah. I'm just like, he's one Canadian that worked out for this team. Congratulations. Thank you.
Six fouls and a great hang.
That's right.
If you had to back off, though, on wins and losses.
Yes.
To allow somebody to fit in who could make you a better playoff team. And you had to give up. I honestly think the best piece they have to give up is Tyson. But after that, I think it might be Ty Jerome. Would you? I think Tyson.
Yeah, I'd give up Tyson.
I think you hang on
this
to
Tyson.
This is
an organization that gave up, speaking of Canadians, Andrew Wiggins. Why
wouldn't
they?
But you gave up Andrew Wiggins before he ever played for you.
Because
you knew what you were going for then. You brought in a guy who's, I think, going to the Hall of Fame.
I mean, how many games does Tyson have this whole season? He doesn't have very many, does he?
Yeah, but
he's got 26.
Andy, he's 6'6". He plays on the wing. He handles the ball. I mean, he could be a point guard for you.
You want to win now?
He could be.
You got to give up something to get something.
Except for one thing. Yes, I want to win now. I also want to make sure that in 3 or 4 years that this team's not like, hey, we're shot, and we don't have any first-round picks.
We've done this before, Jeff. We've lived this life. We understand how this works. And if you feel like you're close to winning a championship now, hey, man, it was fun. That was a fun 30 games. Good luck to you, and we'll see you somewhere down the road. And maybe when you're like Tristan, you can come back to us, too.
Stay tuned. We'll see. I just don't want to give up Jalen Tyson. 6'6" with skills. That's what this team is screaming for, so why would you give that up? Who knows?
I hear you. I want to remind everybody that all of the guests that show up on this show are on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we thank them.
Speaking of not being afraid to make a move because you think your window's open, guess who did that? The guys who were putting blue seats into the ballpark.
Ooh.
Hey, you have a strength? Keep it a strength. But is that what they did? That conversation coming up in about 6 minutes.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
That's Andy Baskin with the clarification on appearing.
Do you agree with that, Dan?
We're getting a little deep.
This is very deep.
It's very deep. No, I think an appearance is an appearance, whether it's visual or it's auditory.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's Dan Menigan. Meredith taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092. Andy, they did it again. Team bullpen brought in another bullpen arm.
I like it.
And I think it's a good move.
I do too.
Yeah, the Guardians have signed Paul Sewald. And if you know Paul, he was very good in Seattle. He's been very good throughout his career. Has been a closer, has been a setup guy, has been a lot of different things. And they signed him to a one-year contract for $7 million. And then there's a mutual option for the following year. And it's, to me, it screams, well, that's a Guardian move.
Yes, it is.
That's a Guardian move. You add to what you think is a position of strength, you know? You think your bullpen's a position of strength, but it was slightly depleted. You traded Eli Morgan.
Right.
Traded Nick Sandlin,
mm-hmm.
who was, you know, the Linus blanket for your manager last year.
True.
And you probably needed another arm. So you bring in Sewald.
Mm-hmm.
I had a buddy ask me this one. Do you think that means they're going to trade Class A?
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of, too. I'm like, I don't think that you trade him right away, but it gives you an option to see where he's at. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was he started for a point after coming back from an oblique strain where he went 11 for 11 in save opportunities. So, and then around August, he kind of went sideways there.
I don't think it means you trade Class A. What I think it does, you know what this it smells like to me? This year's Scott Barlow trade or move. Remember last year they brought in Barlow,
yeah.
who had been a closer throughout his career,
mm-hmm.
you know, at various times at least. And for some reason, he ended up not being here at the end of the year. You know, they let him go. He had had a couple of rough outings in a row, and they let him go. Sewald last year had 16 saves. The year before, he had 34 saves between Seattle and Arizona. And he was traded by the Mariners to Arizona in the deal that brought Dominic Canzone from a local guy from Walsh Jesuit, took him from Arizona to Seattle. But this is a guy who's had big-time closer experience. It gives you insurance in the back end of the bullpen and gives you a different arm in the back end of the bullpen, certainly a different look because he has a little bit, wouldn't call it sidearm delivery, maybe a three-quarter arm slot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little funky delivery. And he sits low 90s, 91, 92. But because of that arm slot, it's a little different look. And to me, that's you go from that and all of a sudden Class A comes in throwing 101, shut you down. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
And you still have question marks.
Man,
about,
you want to talk about being confused at the plate, right?
You go from like a three-quarter arm slot throwing 92 and, you know, throwing off-speed stuff at 84. To Class A coming in and humming it at 101, that'll be tough. You still have questions with Sam Henches. Sam probably won't be pitching this year. Is that correct, as far as we all know? And then Trevor Stephens coming back, so you don't know about Trevor. He didn't pitch last year. Well, you know, is when and if he's able to pitch this year, unknown at this point. Sewald gives you a good arm in the back of that bullpen, and you add him in there, and away you go. I like it. Dan mentioned this at the when we were chatting earlier in the day. Could you have taken that money and bought a position player? And I kind of like the idea. I always like the idea. And I know the name of the game is pitching. Give me a guy who's going to play 1,000 innings for me as opposed to a guy who's going to play 60.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that, too.
Except guess what?
It's really hard to find that guy that can be really good at 60 innings.
Especially, yeah, or it's hard to find the guy who can play 1,000 really well for you for $7 million.
True.
So maybe it was just the perfect fit in the perfect spot.
Yeah. Your glass half full is what you guys laid out of Paul Sewald.
Sure.
Your glass half empty is that last year.
After he blew all the saves?
Last year, the exit velocity seems to be going the wrong direction. The velocity itself seems to be going the wrong direction. He seems to be giving up more fly balls. But again, it's the Guardians pitching factory. So like, as much as you want to sit here and go, okay, you're handing a 35-year-old guy how much money? You're also like Guardians pitching factory.
Every time they bring in a pitcher, aren't we left with this thought? Oh, good, they'll get him back on track.
Guardians pitching factory.
Every time.
Bring it in, tune it up, send it out.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking here. But if you think about what happened last year, they kind of rebuilt that bullpen during the season. You know, and we have guys who we didn't think of that much early on because they weren't even here. Andrew Walters, you know, ends up coming up at the end of the year. And he's going to be a really key part of this. Eric Sabrowski, same thing. He wasn't a part of this early on. He ends up being a big part of it late. Hunter Gaddis turns into a stud relief pitcher.
Cade Smith.
And Cade Smith came out of nowhere as a rookie. He was great. You know, they had all these rookies who stepped in and did the job, and now you throw a Sewald in there. At the very least, there's an arm, and you know you can put him in the back end of the bullpen, and he's going to be pretty good. And if you find you have too many, you can always trade one. Or, and I don't like this idea, you put Hunter Gaddis back in the starting rotation. He was really good in the bullpen, and he was okay as a starter in the previous year.
I think it's on the table, don't you? You think it's on the table?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The question they're going to have to figure out is you've got Tanner Bibee, who you can pretty much lock in. Gavin Williams is going to have Bibee's one of those spots.
In, well, except you're going to trust Gavin Williams to be healthy?
He's got one of those spots.
Okay.
I mean, he's taken one of the five.
Okay.
Trust factor has nothing to do with it. He's one of the five.
Okay. Then what do you do?
I think Cantillo ends up as one of them, too, just because you threw him in the playoffs, so why not?
I don't know if Cantillo ends up there. I hope he does, because it means that he's done a nice job in spring training and he's good to go. I'm ready to see him on a regular basis. I'm anxious for that. Logan Allen, you sent him down almost like never to return, even though he did.
Ben Lively as well. Ben Lively will be in that conversation. I mean, I think the three we could probably lock in are Lively, Williams, and Bibee. And then the other two are going to be the question mark.
Yeah, and Lively will be your fourth, fifth starter, something like that, you would assume. Let me throw some names at you then. It's not going to be Bieber.
Are you going out to get guys or no?
Nope, I'm not.
Okay. I got one circled.
All right, well, let me give you some. Logan Allen. Cantillo. Daniel Espino.
Oh, God, no. He doesn't exist until he's sitting on a mound 60 feet 6 inches from the mound.
I would agree, except for the fact that he's still kind of hanging around in conversation. And at one time, not too long ago, 3 years ago, was the number one prospect in the organization.
Until that guy is standing on the mound at Progressive Field, he doesn't exist.
Tristan McKenzie.
I got to see what the velocity looks like.
Luis Ortiz.
That's the guy.
Yeah, who they get from Pittsburgh. I would assume he's in.
That's the guy I got circled. And I got a feeling he's going to be fun.
I got one more for you. Doug Nikhazy. Former second-round pick of the organization. Left-handed starter. Was very good in Columbus last year. I think this is an opportunity this year where a guy like Nikhazy, a guy like Cantillo, can get that job and go. Remember, it wasn't too long ago that Shane Bieber was that guy. You know, a young guy in the organization who you thought, oh, okay, well, let's throw him in there. He can be our fifth starter on the staff with Corey Kluber and, you know, the other guys. And that to me, there are enough possibilities here that you should end up with two or three guys and a guy or three in Columbus who can come up when you need them, and you know you will at some point.
What's the deal with Slade, Dan? What's the deal with the cat they got from Tampa?
They must
or
like
Arizona.
Him.
Sorry, Arizona.
They must like him. It must be one of those they've seen
Slade
him throw.
Slade Ciccone.
Yeah,
Ciccone. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I was trying to remember his last name. I was like Slade. It was that guy dude with a cool name,
Mr. Slade.
Yeah,
they must see something.
I know it was Slade. I know.
Okay. It's got to be something like, hey, we tweak this, we tweak this, and all of a sudden we got a guy with 3+ pitches.
And there's talk of him either maybe in the rotation or in the bullpen. They immediately mentioned bullpen with him as well.
It very much feels like, and I know how this ended, so I don't want to totally attribute it the same way, but it feels like, remember after when Hugh Jackson sat down at the dais, and he goes, you're going to have to trust me on this one.
Eh.
That's kind of what it feels like.
That's not good for him.
It feels like the Guardian cool sitting name. Down at the dais and going, you're going to have to trust me on Slade.
I got to be honest.
Have to trust me.
Would you name your kid Slade? I would.
Slade?
Slade. I think it's a cool name.
Slade
cool
Baskin? Name.
Yeah.
Nice.
I always think of Deathstroke from the Batman comics.
I like Spike.
Oh, really? DC comics, yeah.
Yeah.
How about Spike?
No, too old, man. Too old. Like, I got Little Rascals feel on that.
You know what this also smells like to me a little bit?
Slade's a cool name, though. You're setting your kid up for, yeah.
I think
for
you're
good things.
Yeah, or prison. One of the two.
Well, you know what? Tell me if this. Tell
you
me
know
if anybody
get
else.
A call from someone named Slade who's going to yell at us.
I don't know. I just think it's a cool name.
I have that name, and I haven't been to prison.
Anybody
I'm sorry,
else have
man.
This?
I'm yes. sorry, Slade. If you have, yeah, I'm sorry. If you've done your time, you've done your time. Okay.
Reeling in the prison Slade talk here.
Yes.
This.
It's a cool name.
This smells like
cool name.
It could lead to this. Because we've just thrown out like 15 pitchers, right? 16 guys.
That's how they roll.
Could this be a situation where you get into spring training late, some team decides, oh my God, we need some pitching. And all of a sudden they make a call to the Guardians and say, we have fill in the blank right fielder with pop. Here, we'll take two or three of your pitchers who probably aren't going to make your team. But we'll go to Columbus and be ready to go, and we can put him in our rotation right now. I almost feel, and I know you don't like to trade pitching. Except for one thing.
I don't know,
they traded
man.
Nick Sandlin and Eli Morgan.
Okay.
They've already traded some pitching.
Right.
It just seems like they have a lot of guys right now who we think should be on the team.
I don't know. You don't want to get to game 142 and
Gavin
say, look,
Williams.
Our rotation only has three guys in it.
If Trevor Stephan's okay. Gavin Williams, Andrew Walters, Trevor Stephan, Cade Smith, Paul Sewald, Eric Sabrowski, Luis Ortiz. Okay, there's seven guys right there.
I got to say, that sounds like the back of a Browns jersey
Nick
right
Casey,
now.
Nick Casey, McKenzie, Lively, Tim Herron was great, Sam Henches, who won't be there, but that's 11. Hunter Gaddis is 12.
That pass.
Nick Enright, who they like. 13, Class A's 14,
tried, didn't he?
Slade, 15, Cantillo, Bybee. I mean, they got 16, 17 guys. This, to me, screams deal from a position of strength to fortify a position of weakness. So I wouldn't be stunned if before the season starts in spring training, a couple of guys are going somewhere and all of a sudden here comes a guy who knows how to hit.
Okay. Training or during the regular season?
I would say spring training.
I don't know, man. I think that this organization feels good when they have 10 pitchers between Cleveland and Columbus they know it can start, or 10 to 12 that they feel solid that could start any major league game.
I have a colorful dilemma.
And I think that's been one of their successes over the last couple decades.
I need help.
Okay, what's
with
your
a
dilemma?
Colorful dilemma.
Okay, what is it?
Next on Baskin and Phelps.
Oh,
that's what it is.
I was right to answer now.